Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
On Wednesday nights, I'm doing a series on the names of God. They're short 15-minute messages on the names of God, so I invite you this Wednesday. But last Sunday morning started a summer series in the book of Acts. I've entitled By His Spirit. Last week, we looked at the subject of being empowered by His Spirit. Next week, I'm going to talk out of Acts 4 on being strengthened by God's Spirit. But today, out of Acts 3, I want to talk about being healed by the Spirit of God, by the power of God. And so we're going to come to a healing story in Acts chapter 3. The new church in Jerusalem has just been birthed. It's only a few weeks since Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And this is the brand new church. And I'm going to read with you the first 8 verses. Not all the verses are in your message notes, but they'll all be on the screen, and of course they're all there in your Bible, I believe. So I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 3, and will you stand with me as we read an amazingly faith-building story? And we're going to begin by starting at the first verse of Acts chapter 3, as we talk about being healed today. Verse 1, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them on into the temple courts, and no surprise, he was walking, and he was jumping, and he was praising God. I got to read that again. And to no one's surprise, he was walking, and he was jumping, and he was praising God. Can you imagine? He'd been lame from birth. He had never done this in his life. He's a grown man. And by the power of God, with 2 men who were walked into that temple by the Spirit of God, they looked at him and said, "I don't have silver and I don't have gold. You're begging for silver and gold. I don't have it. But what we do have, because we live by His Spirit, what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." So do you agree with me? We welcome the heart-shaping work of God's Spirit through His Word, especially today, to build faith in our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. I always feel to impress upon us the reality of these stories. I mean, these aren't fairy tales. They're not written by somebody who had too much pizza the night before and didn't sleep well. These are true stories, and they're rooted in real places. So I'd like to show you a picture I've shown you before. This is the large temple model in Jerusalem. It's a big, huge outdoor model of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, and obviously in the time of the book of Acts, which, again, took place just a few weeks, that story, a few weeks after Jesus died and rose again. Here's the walls around the Jerusalem of Jesus' time. And there's inner wall. Well, these walls came later. Here's the inner walls. Jesus would have been crucified right about here and buried and rose again right there. So a few weeks later, the day of Pentecost has come, and the early church gathered here in the temple. Now, this temple It was through the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. Remember two of the minor prophets we looked at a few weeks ago? Their prophetic ministry fueled the rebuilding of the Second Temple. And then King Herod of the Christmas story really kind of renovated and expanded this temple and then built this huge platform for crowds to gather as they came to temple worship. Here, along the south side, this is the south, City of David goes down from here. On the south side, behind, on this side of this, these orange-colored tile roofs, here were the gates where people entered. These steps are still here. That's one place when you go to the Holy Land, you will literally walk where Jesus walked. He walked those steps into the temple. And most scholars believe Gate Beautiful, where the lame man was right here. Why? Because it was a high traffic area and he was begging. He wanted to get the attention of everybody who came in. They would come in this area under the roof here and see all these pillars and then this court. This was called Solomon's Colonnade, or the Portico of Solomon. And that name shows up several times in the book of Acts because this is where the first church gathered to worship. They worshiped right here in this portico. And so we're told that the lame man right here encountered Peter and John. He's begging for money. Peter and John says, I don't have any cash with me, but I do have the Holy Spirit and the message and authority of the name of Jesus. And he's healed right here. And then it says, together they went into the portico. And so you can just imagine the guy running around in here and just making a distracting show of things. He's just overcome with joy. He hasn't ever run. He never ran as a kid. He never ran as a teenager. He couldn't even walk. And now he's running, he's leaping, he's walking, and he's shouting, and he's praising God. And so this whole crowd starts to gather in right here. This happened in a real place. All of the details in Acts 3 are historically accurate as far as we know. So, and Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, interviewed eyewitnesses. He wrote about the time that eyewitnesses could have easily refuted him if the events that are located to places everybody would know. That's exactly where beggars sit. That's exactly the gate that you'd most strategically want to be at, the Gate Beautiful. And that's exactly where that guy probably would have run to start leaping and praising God. It all happened, and so it just lends credibility to the story that's actually told, because Luke could have easily been refuted if he got the location right but the events wrong. I mean, why would he write that when there's eyewitnesses alive who are probably there? And they could attest to exactly what happened. But it's not only there, it's then. I want to pull three phrases out of this story to talk about God's healing power. And the first phrase was the first two words in chapter 3 that we read. Just those simple words, one day. In fact, we're told one day at 3 in the afternoon when the Jewish people would have been coming into the temple for the court to pray. One day. I heard the famous writer and pastor Mark Batterson. In fact, he was standing in this pulpit speaking at a church planning conference in our auditorium a couple of years ago. I heard him say, two of my favorite words in the Bible are one day. One day. Because I believe we can believe God for his moments in our life. I don't get God's timing. I don't always understand, and I find I make a lot of mistakes when I put my calendar book over his promises. He's rather sovereign with when. Jesus seems to have no felt need to explain himself to me some days. All I know is that God has sovereign one days for us, and that we should never stop believing for God's moment for us. You may not be able to control when that moment is, other than maybe making sure, you know, you've forgiven others and dealt with some of those things that the Bible clearly teaches hinder God's work in our lives. But assuming that's the place, that you're walking under the forgiveness of Jesus' blood, you know what? You just hold on And you never get discouraged because you never stop believing for God's moment in your life. God's one day. There's a one day for every one of us where God just steps in and makes everything new. That one day could be this morning for you. We're going to invite at the end of the service any of you like healing to come forward. And I'm just going to pray over you as a group. People are going to gather around you, and we're just going to pray. And this could be God's one day for you. But I encourage you not to be discouraged if it doesn't happen on this day. Just never stop believing. I've had people say, you know what, Pastor? I've been up for prayer 100 times. It's getting embarrassing. And I say, well, go 101 times. Amen. You know, because I finally figured this out years ago. Someday when I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, now, Bradford, and he just weighs how I live my life. He's not going to say, now, Bradford, you know, I am concerned about one thing, about the way you lived your life. I mean, you believed me for too much. I mean, your faith was too stubborn. I mean, you just wouldn't let go of me and trust other things. I'm really discouraged that you didn't trust other things instead of me. I'm discouraged that you didn't give up. You should have given up 25 years ago. You just had too much stubborn faith. I guarantee you he's not going to say that to me. He's probably going to say, Bradford, if you only knew what you could have walked in if you had just kept on believing. And I want to encourage you to keep on believing, because God has a one day. Now, last year, Assemblies of God World Missions released a story written by somebody who attends our church. I'm gonna make the relational connections for you, because I want you to know this stuff isn't fairy tale. It's written by Dan Van Veen. Dan and Lori have been wonderful parts of our congregation for many years. He works next door at the Assemblies of God National Office, and he's a writer. And he wrote an article about a missionary in Taiwan. This article was just released a few months ago. It was about a missionary in Taiwan that some of you may actually know, Sina Silva. Sina and Tai Silva serve in Taiwan. Sandy and I are actually going to be preaching at a conference for them in Taiwan next March. This is all very real. And Sina, a couple of years ago, at night in Taiwan, was stepping off a curb because it was dark. She couldn't see, and the pavement was uneven, and she seriously injured her foot. I believe it was her left foot. You know how it twists? And she tore 3 ligaments in 6 different places. It put her in a wheelchair. It was agonizingly painful. And although she started praying right away, it put her in a wheelchair for 30 days. And then, because you don't get as much blood flow to the internal ligaments as the external ones started to heal up after 30 days, but the internal ones were still incredibly painful. Now she had to wear a boot. She could hobble around. She needed something like a cane or an umbrella to lean on to walk, and she still could not wear any of her shoes. When it first happened, her leg had swollen up right up to the knee, and her foot was still slow, and it was agonizingly painful still to move it and to touch it even after 30 days. The doctors left no hope. They said, well, maybe in a few months we may have to operate again. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Well, they never did operate, but operate to try to help you here. She just was in a bad place. And so earlier last year, they went to the World Assemblies of God Congress, which is every 3 years in Singapore. They went to one of the evening services in there. She had to take a taxi from the hotel. Otherwise, you could have, you know, walked to the train station, taken a train in Singapore, then walked to the convention center. She had to take a taxi because she could just hobble. It was painful, but she really wanted to go to the evening service. A friend of mine, Jason Friend, was preaching. Jason has a massive ministry all over Latin America, the Spanish-speaking world, as an evangelist. He sees signs and wonders happening. When I was pastoring in Southern California, Jason was my prayer partner, actually. He was a student at Vanguard University. He just had this passion. He felt this call to be an evangelist, and he didn't know how it happened. So he'd come to my office. We'd just pray and pray and pray. Well, God's raised him up, and we'd have the greatest prayer meetings back then. God raised him up, and now he's a great evangelist. Young guy, yeah, but great evangelist. And he was speaking that night. Sina was sitting, I think she said, in the second row. And she said, They introduced Jason to get up and preach. And his introduction was this sentence: Jesus is here to deliver and heal. He said, no one's praying for me. I wasn't even in that moment thinking of being healed. As soon as he said the word healed, she said, the power of God shot through my foot. She said, tangibly. And then it jumped to the other foot, and then it went physically. She could feel the surge of God's power go up and down, up to her head, down to her feet twice. And she said, in an instant, I was completely healed. She said, I was walking around. I didn't take the taxi home. I walked to the train station. I got home back to Taiwan. I pulled out all my old shoes. They fit perfectly. She was walking, leaping, praising God. It's almost a similar miracle, almost the kind of miracle like happened in Acts chapter 3. I know all these people. I know that evangelist. I know that missionary. I know the guy who wrote that article. I mean, this is not fairy tale. God, by his power, has his moments. In fact, I tell that story in part because Cena said this. He said, it was God's moment. It was his time in his presence. You put those two things together, his moment in his presence. And I want to tell you, we should never, ever give up on the possibilities of God's moment in his presence. One day, at 3:00 p.m, as a matter of fact, in real time, in a real place, God steps in. So we believe God for his moments. To the day we die, we never stop believing him for his sovereign moments. And at the same time, we trust God beyond the natural. We trust him beyond the natural. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but by his Spirit, he spoke to that man in Jesus' name and said, rise and walk. There's a story. I don't know that it's true. It's kind of legendary, but St. Francis of Assisi, apparently back in the year 1210, nearly 1,000 years ago, he was in Rome visiting Pope Innocent III. Pope Innocent III was showing St. Francis, who had taken a vow of poverty, was showing him the luxurious riches of the Vatican, of the Catholic Church in Rome. And so you probably heard this story told. The Pope Innocent III said to him, well, it looks like the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none. To which Francis of Assisi responded, yes, and the church can no longer say, rise up and walk either. That hurts. We're not talking about natural resources. We're talking about something that happens by his Spirit. Now let me say, I believe God's general will for all of us is healing, that pathway. I mean, someday we'll all die. But I believe that's his general will for us. So I would say, if I have a headache and I take a Tylenol so that I can feel better, I'm probably not disobeying God. It's probably generally God's will that my headache, you know, go away somehow if I can do that. My daughter has been for years an ICU nurse, and she feels very called, and she's been very used of God as an ICU nurse. There's many medical professionals in this room. And we thank God for you. I've seen God use your hands and your skills to take people towards his general will for them, recovery and healing. You're not countering God's will. That's his general will for all of us. But I've even heard doctors say, somehow I can fix things, but something of healing substance happens that I'm just not responsible for. And there's something beyond the natural, I believe, in the healing processes. And this gives all of us hope, because I've been inviting you this year to take on a new life motto. It's just simply this: by his Spirit. I'm going to live this week by his Spirit. You hear me say ad nauseum, wherever you go, you're God's person. Every meeting you're in this week, you're God's person. every place you'll visit, every store you'll buy something from, you're God's person. Every social event you're in, every family gathering you're in, you're God's person there. And because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, don't put any boundaries around what God could do for you. That's why I just encourage all of you, because it's by His Spirit and not just by His medical skill, as much as we thank God for that, because it's by His Spirit, I just encourage you, whenever you see somebody who needs healing, don't hesitate to pray for them. You don't need to be a pastor. You just need to walk by His Spirit. Amen. And just by faith. Because there's a dimension to healing that takes place by His Spirit. I mean, this was totally supernatural, what happened to this lame man at the Gate Beautiful. What happened to our friend Sina last year. I mean, this is totally supernatural. And there is a by my Spirit element that means nothing is impossible. And who knows what He could do through you to demonstrate the glory of Jesus and to extend His healing power. May God lead everyone. Just have somewhere an opportunity to share about Jesus this week and to pray for somebody, whether they're a Christian or not, that needs healing. I mean, you be God's person wherever you are. Don't sit there with spiritual insecurity. Listen, this is by His Spirit because Jesus died and rose again at the cross. This kind of is kind of humbling to us. This is all not about us. It's about God's Spirit in us so that it can flow through us. It's by His Spirit. And so we constantly trust God beyond the natural. And if we're living by His Spirit in every moment through the week, who knows what God could do through any one of us? Let's take the lid off. Let's not box God in with unbelief. Oh, you only use certain kind of people in certain kind of services. No. I just pray God takes His power into the marketplace. And who's in the marketplace? We are. He's going to use us. And you know, He does want to demonstrate. That's why last week I mentioned, even sometimes with non-Christians, you know, I'll talk to them, and if I have a moment, it seems right, I'll ask them if I can pray for them in any way. Because I just believe by His Spirit, God can do things to show the reality of Jesus. I mean, there's a whole bunch more people get saved after Acts chapter 3 in Jerusalem because there's a man who never walked in his life leaping and praising God and bringing glory to Jesus. I remember when I was pastoring University Church at the University of Minnesota, I had a Muslim friend. I was reaching out to him, a Muslim friend. And then he started attending some of our services. And he was a college student from another country, young guy, but he had real leg problems. That seems to be the theme today. He had real leg problems. I mean, he couldn't walk quite right, kind of walk with a bit of a limp, and he'd tell me he had pain and things. And I felt like partway through a Sunday service, I just felt to call people forward who needed healing. I mean, we weren't even at the end of the service. I wasn't planning on doing this. I just felt like so I remember from that side to that side in that church auditorium, there were people. I remember my friend, the Muslim, came and stood right in the middle. He came out because his leg. And he didn't totally... still this Jesus stuff. He didn't know what to do about it. But we went down. I remember I just anointed with oil everybody down that line. And I don't know if anything happened to anybody else. And maybe it was kind of an object lesson. The Lord was trying to teach me. I just want to show people that I'm real. I want to glorify Jesus by what I do when I heal. And nobody else told me that they experienced a healing touch in that line. All the rest, I believe, were Christians. I knew them all. But my Muslim friend who was in the middle, right in the prayer, I went by, put oil on his head, and just went and kept praying. He told me later, he said, when you put your hand on me, whatever that was you put on my forehead, he said, I could hear bones and feel bones move around in my leg and my lower back and my hips. He said, I could hear the crackles of the bones changing location, and I don't know what happened, but my leg is just fine now. Now, I don't know why God didn't heal everybody in that line, but all I know is Jesus is out to show Himself great. He's out to show off His glory and power so that people will come to Him and be His children. And I just want you to take the lid off. Let's walk by His Spirit. Let's believe God can use us, not because we're impressive, not because we're good looking, not because we may be paid on pastoral staff. That has nothing to do with it. It is you walking by His Spirit with a Jesus who wants to show His glory to people. And who knows what God could do? Yeah, but maybe God won't do anything. I used to let that really shut me down. I finally figured, God, I'm going to do what You told me to do. I'm going to have faith. And if You don't do anything, that's Your problem, not mine. I'm going to let You worry about that. I used to feel like if I pray for somebody and they're not healed, oh, they're not going to think I'm very spiritual. I mean, I had to get over myself and get the spotlight back on Jesus. This isn't proving anything about yourself. This isn't proving like you're some kind of spiritual hotshot. This is just loving people with Jesus' heart, walking by His Spirit, and realizing that something beyond the natural can take place when you depend on His Spirit and not yourself. So we believe God for His moments, and we trust God beyond the natural. That's walking by His Spirit. And then the third phrase with which we'll close, in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's the King James Version. A popular song was written to that. That's how I always remember it. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. And the next words, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is the authority of Jesus' name. And that's what we appeal to. See, we appeal to the authority of Jesus' name. We believe God for His moments. We trust God beyond the natural. And then we appeal to the authority of Jesus' name. This is rock bottom simple this morning. But it's why we usually pray in Jesus' name. Most times when you hear a public prayer, you'll hear someone say, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Or, Lord, we pray this in Your name, amen. And what you're doing is appealing to an authority other than yourself. I hope you don't pray in Your name. Nothing personal, but I hope you don't do that. And I desperately hope you don't pray in pastor's name. In the name of my pastor, I pray You'll heal this person. Listen, I can't scare away a flea, let alone a disease. Do not pray in my name. But you pray, and I pray, in the name of Jesus, who bore our sicknesses and our infirmities at the cross, and then blew out of a grave 3 days later in triumph, and gives us His Spirit. We pray in the authority of Jesus' name. And that's why Peter says, if you just keep going right there, verses 11 and 12. Of course, this has caused a ruckus. This guy's in that courtyard. He's jumping and leaping and praising God. And verse 11 said, while the man held on to Peter and John. You can imagine, when he's not jumping, he said, I'm not letting these guys out of my sight. He's a smart guy. He started by asking for money, and now he's healed, and now he's not letting them go. And the man held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Remember that? I pointed out right where that was. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? You could add, duh. Like, tell me, like I have the ability to do this? Go down to verse 15. He really starts preaching at him. You killed the author of life, he's telling them. Of course, Jesus just been crucified a couple months earlier, right? You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. You killed him, but God raised him. He was the author of life, and he defeated death. Wow, that's a sermon in a sentence right there. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith, verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. And get this, the second sentence of verse 16. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. as you can see. It's Jesus' name. Everything starts there. His authority secured by what we celebrated at the table of the Lord today with his body and his blood. He took care of it. All healing has already been bought and paid for. So that's why it's in Jesus' name. Our sins and our sicknesses were placed upon him at the cross, the Bible tells us. That's why it's in Jesus' name, through his victory. We appeal to Jesus' authority. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. Our faith is what is the response to what he has done. And he even gives us his faith. It's faith that comes through Jesus, through what he did. God giving us faith to respond to him. That's why we sometimes anoint you with oil. The Bible encourages us. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint that person with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the sick shall be healed. And if you've committed sin, it'll be forgiven. This is the way the church works. And the oil doesn't heal you. It's just a point of faith. Just a point of faith. I was in the Minneapolis airport coming back from speaking at a conference or something a while back, and I had my anointing oil with me, and I had to get up in the middle of the night to catch an early flight. It's 5:15 in the morning. I'm still waking up, and I forget to put my anointing oil in the plastic bag with the liquids under 3 ounces. So sure enough, it gets flagged by a young lady in her 20s, TSA agent. She flags it. She pulls it out and said, "What's this?" Now she's wondering why she's having to work terrible hours. I'm still waking up. It's 5:15 in the morning. And I said, "That's anointing oil." The next second, I discerned she had never been to church in her life. She said, "What's that?" It's 5:15 in the morning in the Minneapolis airport. Neither of us want to be there. And I said, "Oh, you put this on people when you pray for healing for them." Just felt like, have you ever felt like a conversation's going nowhere? The longer you talk, the deeper the hole you're digging. The end of that story is that she got confused and my oil got confiscated. So I had to go buy more. "This won't heal you, though." I did tell her it was olive oil. That didn't work either. But sometimes even being anointed with oil is just that contact point of faith. It's the name of Jesus and faith that comes through him, where we just take the step to be prayed for, to be anointed with oil, and then the pressure's off us. Then we wait for his moments, and we receive in the name of Jesus.